will be here, and so we're really thankful that we can support people and even reach across the miles, and literally sometimes we're reaching across to the other side of the world as well. Well, this morning we are going to have a fairly short message. It's not going to be a long one, but I want to talk about practicing our gospel message, our gospel presentation with folks. Now, right off the bat, I got it wrong. It's not 2 Peter chapter 3, it's 1 Peter chapter 3. Sometimes I get a little typo there. So if you want to maybe open your Bibles to that very well-known verse in 1 Peter chapter 3, and it's talking about giving a reason for the hope that's in us as believers. And I've covered this before in preaching, but I think it's important for us to maybe just focus on it yet again. We as a church have been blessed, right? Because when I say open your Bibles too, you guys are like, okay, which Bible? Which version, right? And if you don't have a physical Bible in front of you, you just pull out your iPhone and you pull out whatever version you want and you've got it at your fingertips. And I think that's absolutely amazing. But sometimes we have so much wealth in some of these areas that we forget to even use it. You ever had something where you're just like, I should have used that. Maybe you've gone through spring cleaning and how many of you have done a garage sale? And you pulled something out and you realized it's never been opened. How many of you have seen that? You're like, oh, that was a wedding gift 20 years ago. We did that. We looked and we thought, there's this beautiful oil lamp, and it was given to us. Beautiful oil lamp, never used. And I can't even tell you who gave it to us. I mean, that's going to hurt the person who gave it to me, but they're probably long gone. In terms of our life, we don't know them anymore, probably. But we have this beautiful inbox, some kind of gift, that I'm sure somebody else would love to have, and we haven't even opened the thing. And sometimes that's the way it is with our Bibles. That's why this morning I talked about Right Now Media. Right Now Media, how many of you are signed up through our church or through another church with Right Now? Anybody? Raise your hands up high. Raise them up high. I want to see how many of you got it. Okay, that's good. Now, some of you don't. It's so easy, by the way. All you have to do is put your name down there, get your email in, and we'll send you the password from our church free. Like, cheap is good, free is better. You heard that saying? That's what my family likes to hear, right? Cheap is good, free is better. This is free for you. Now, it costs our church some money, so that's part of what our offerings go towards. But Right Now Media, I mean, you want Bible teaching from all these amazing teachers like Chandler, Francis Chan, you've got John Piper there, MacArthur, you've got like, you've got guys like, anyways, there's a whole host of them. I mean, those are just a list of a few. There's an amazing plethora of good Bible teaching that's there on Right Now Media. We use it every single evening in our family for devotions. We use Right Now, or sometimes we use YouTube and the Bible Project. It's amazing. We have it right at our fingertips, and we could take our kids through a Bible study in 1 John, for example, what it means to be a Christian, and they get a verse-by-verse analysis through a presentation that is punchy, that gets it, that connects with the kids. And you know, sometimes we get through the day and we go, oh, I just don't have time. But we really do. And we have the Word of God. And sometimes we say, oh, I don't have time. But we really do. And when it comes to witnessing to other people, we think, oh, I wish I knew more. I wish I knew more like the pastor or somebody else. But at the end of the day, is it really that difficult? Or is it a matter of priorities? One of the greatest privileges that I have had in life is being able to share the good news of Jesus Christ with people. Maybe that's the greatest privilege that I've ever had. And it comes up in all kinds of circumstances, in all kinds of different ways. And this is what Peter is talking about in 1 Peter chapter 3. He's talking about, hey, when the opportunity presents itself, are you ready? Ready to share the gospel with people? Ready to tell them for the reason, for the hope that is in you? And if we're ready for that and we engage it, guess what? As with anything, it becomes more enjoyable when you practice things that are good. When you get on that good habit train, as it were. And that's what Peter's encouraging us to do. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, and that's the one verse that I want to focus on this morning. It says, set apart or sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you in meekness and fear. Practicing what we preach or practicing what we know. In other words, practice makes perfect. So I want to talk about this in some practical ways this morning. And I want to ask just three questions, or three sets of questions. The first is this: are you approachable? Are you an approachable person? Are you the type of person that someone looks at and says, yeah, I'd feel comfortable talking to him or talking to her? This is implied here in Peter's verse, here in Peter's instructions. It says, be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you. So they're coming to me, they're coming to you, and they're the ones that are asking. Now, if you're a person who's got walls up, or if you're a person that's known for not being approachable, maybe you're a person that they're not comfortable talking to because they sense that you're either a distant person, you're not interested, or maybe you're easily offended, or whatever the case may be. There's a lot of things that can send off the vibe that you don't really want to get near me. And that causes all kinds of problems when it comes to witnessing, right? Because when people look at us, they're not really coming to us to ask a question. They're more maybe coming to us, if they do work up the gumption to talk to us, they may be coming to just challenge us. Maybe they want to, they've got their defenses up, as it were. Being approachable is part of Jesus' approach. I love the way that Jesus was with people. If anyone could have been distant, it would have been Jesus, right? Who had all the answers? Jesus did. Who knew his Bible? Jesus did. Who obeyed his Bible perfectly? Only Jesus did. So if Jesus was distant from everybody else, almost would have been understandable. I mean, here's a person who's perfect in every way, had all the answers, and people don't want to approach him, and yet that's not the way that the King of the universe was. Matthew 19, verse 14 is very instructive in this regard. It says this, it records Jesus saying to the disciples, let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. Jesus invited the least invitable people to his dinner, didn't he? Go out and invite all the wealthy and all the high social class people. And they're like, I cannot come to the banquet. Don't trouble me now. Your wife bought me a cow. I have fields of commitments that cost a pretty sum. You know that song for those of you that are older. Pray, hold me excused. I cannot come, can't come. And he's like, fine then. Go into the back streets and go into the places where you would normally not invite. Invite those people to come. Invite those lepers to come. Invite those social outcasts to come. And as he invited them to come, and children were included in that, because in those days children were to be seen and not heard. And Jesus said, invite them to come. And they came. There are Christians that come from all different backgrounds. Some come from the rougher side of the tracks. Some come from the nicer side of the tracks. At the end of the day, we all come from a place. Every single one of us comes from a place of some insecurity. I mean, anytime you're in a new group, right? I mean, I've been in places or times or seasons of my life where I'm in a new group of people. What's one of the main reasons that people are afraid to go to church? Because if it's not their church, it's weird. It's just weird going into a new church. Like, it's a new space, it's new people, it's unfamiliar. And I've been there about 10, 12 years ago. I was just sharing with someone that this morning before the service. I was just talking about how, like, 10, 12 years ago, I was the newbie, because we switched roles. I was in the ministry, and then I left, and then we came to a new city. I didn't know a soul. You walk into church, and you're like, you're waiting for somebody to greet you. It's kind of hard, because you want somebody to greet you, but you don't want someone to go, welcome to church this morning, what's your name? And you're like, stay away from me. But then you go into other churches, and it's like nobody sees you. You go in, you go out, you go in, you go out, you go in, you go out. And they never remember you, and nobody cares. And that church feels very distant. But that's not just the case for churches, it can be you at work. Maybe you're in the proverbial cubicle, or you're in your station when you're in a shop or whatever you're doing, and it's like, yeah, that guy, that girl, she just hangs out with herself. She doesn't talk to many people. She's not really approachable. Approachability is kind of like a, it's more of a feeling than it is an actual something you can touch, but it's still very real, right? So how approachable are you? Are you an approachable person? Or are you not approachable? And this is no bearing on whether you're an extrovert or an introvert. People have different personality types. You can be an extrovert and still not approachable because you freak everybody out, because you're just really overly aggressive with people. And you can be an introvert, and you could still be very approachable to people, because even though you're soft in the way that you approach folks, you still have that kind of sense of an open door and willing to talk to folks. It takes something out of us to be approachable, though, doesn't it? Because if you're approachable, you have to have your walls down, right? You do. And that's part of what an effective witness looks like. These the children that were getting in Jesus' way were getting in the way of important ministry as far as the disciples were concerned. I mean, Jesus is performing miracles, and he's teaching people. He's doing all the important stuff. And then these little brats come running around, and they're causing trouble. And the disciples are like, shoo, get lost. I mean, it was as far as they were concerned, maybe they thought it was like a gong show, right? And here they were, concerned about that, and Jesus said, no. Unless you have the faith of a little child, you can't enter the kingdom of heaven. There's things you can learn even from these kids. And of course, any church that focuses on kids, I mean, that's when many people make a first-time decision for Christ, when they're children. So why not focus there? I mean, it's kind of like saying, I sell cars, but I don't want to sell cars to people that are between the ages of like 35 to 65. I'm only aiming for people that are 65 and up or under the age of 35. Are you serious about selling cars? You're serious about making money? You probably wouldn't be in business very long, right? You don't take the area where the biggest wheelhouse for selling your cars is and just throw it out because it's inconvenient for you. And Jesus, in the same way, said that is what I want to do. I want to focus on people, and I want them to know that we're approachable. And so that sometimes takes a lot out of us. But hospitality and being approachable, that's very, very biblical. God has extended that hospitality to us, hasn't he? In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2, we get the sense of, like, you know what hospitality really is? Hospitality is, you knock on someone's door, you know, they knock on your door. You know what it is when you hear the knock on the door? What's your first thought, by the way, when somebody knocks on your door? Come on, tell me the truth. What are you thinking? You're looking for somebody standing there with a lanyard telling you that they represent some power company, right? How many of you think that? What are you trying to sell me? Anybody think that? I love how everybody's like, well, I don't want to admit it. Maybe it's a religious group that's standing there, as two of them. They want to hand you their literature and talk to you for a little bit. Maybe it's somebody that wants to sell you something. And immediately you're like, somebody's at the door, and you don't really want them to knock on your door. But there's many times that people knock on our door, and it's not those people. It's the neighbor's kid. Can Ben come out to play? Right? Isn't that cute? Right? Or somebody's like, can I borrow your wheelbarrow? You know, I said to the guy that asked if I could borrow my wheelbarrow? I said, it's a community wheelbarrow. Go ahead. Everybody can borrow my wheelbarrow. Just put it back when you're done. Like I literally said, it's community wheelbarrow because I don't have any room for it in my backyard or my garage, so I stick it on the side of my house in the back, and all the neighbors are like, he's got a wheelbarrow. It's like, I could really use one. And I'm like, well, just use it. It's okay. It's no big deal, right? Hospitality is basically this. It's like, be part of the furniture when you come in the house. It's like, you know what? Welcome here. Don't worry about it. And the way I feel about my house is, hey, look, if you want it to be pin neat, make an appointment. But if you just want to come by and drop by and see me anytime, hop on in, you know? And that's what we want our house to be like. And that's what we want our lives to be like. We want it to be welcome here. And that's the same attitude that God has commanded us to have. Hebrews 13, verse 2 says, don't forget to show hospitality to strangers. For some who have done this have entertained angels without realizing it. Now, I'm not sure if I've had any angels in my house, but I do know that God sends people in all kinds of different ways. So being approachable is that sense of like, doors open, welcome to my life. And you can't have that attitude of like this. You got to have an attitude of being humble and low and open to people. Making our lives an open invitation is something that we do by choice, choosing not to be insular, but to be open. And in Winnipeg, let's make hay while the sun shines, because in the winter, let's be honest, usually you don't see people in your neighborhood as much, right? Because the doors close and it's like cold outside. But in the summertime, well, that's different. We have an opportunity during that period of time. The second question is, are you interested in others? This goes beyond, are you approachable, but do you actually take interest in others? It says, be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you, in meekness and fear, or meekness and respect. Being interested in others is having an eye that says, what's going on in someone else's life? It's like looking at someone at work and saying, boy, they don't really seem to be with it this past month. Something must have happened. And you don't want to ask them, but you're concerned about them, and you're praying for an opportunity to talk to them. Sometimes you've seen those Let's Talk commercials on TV about people that are struggling with mental health issues. And there's two different ways to approach that person who's being difficult at work. How many of you have seen those commercials? And the one way of approaching the person is to gossip about them and, you know, like this. And the other way is to say, hey, you know what? They've gone through a really rough time. Or did you get a chance to talk to them and know what's really going on in their life? And those are two totally different ways. Maybe they're going through a health crisis that you know nothing about. Maybe they're going through a divorce that you have no idea is happening. Maybe they're going through some situation with their children that's just causing all sorts of problems. And I can tell you, you know, when my wife comes home from work and tells me about her friends at work or coworkers, I mean, we don't really often talk about the details of how work goes. First of all, because I have no idea what she does, because she's an accountant and me and that sort of thing is just doesn't go well together. I don't understand what she does. Matter of fact, there was years ago, she was telling me all the stuff that she was doing at work, and I finally just stopped her and I said, honey, I love you, but I have no idea what you just said. And so she kind of realized that what she does is kind of in a different world of where I live, but I'm really interested in the interpersonal stuff. And she talks about that. And the longer you're in the same place of work, the more you get to know people and interest in other people. People don't care how much you know, of course, until they know how much you care, and that is so true. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, or verse 4, I should say. Philippians chapter 2, verse 4. Again, another typo here, sorry. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. That should be Philippians 2, 4. Do you really do that? Do I really do that? Looking out for? Looking out for means like looking out for. It's proactive, right? It's actually looking for the problems, and I'll tell you, they're all over the place. When you look and you see where other people are at, you get to listen to their stories. My neighbor just across the street yesterday said, we're having a party at my house. I hope it doesn't get too loud. He says, please forgive me if it does. It's the 16th birthday of one of my best friends, and he got killed while he was at a traffic stop on the south end of the city, and a dump truck ran him over when he was on his bike. And I saw him in the yard going out all the time. They did stuff together. Now, if you're not talking to them, you're like, what's up with that music? Those people, they're partying until 12:30 at night. What's the matter with those guys? Right? I mean, that's what you're thinking. You're not thinking about, why are they doing that? And if you're looking out for and talking to them, you're like, party away. It's okay. It's like this girl, she needs that support. And the whole family, and not just her genetic family or her biological family, but her circle of friends, her family, came around and they were there for her on such an important day, because that was just a few months ago that her dad died. looking out for the interest of others, not just my own interests. What a difference that makes, right? And so when people come to you and ask for the reason for the hope that's in you, that tells you that you're open to them and they're open now to you. And this is where witnessing and the gospel get so much more traction than if we just give them a tract, just tell them and off we go. Sometimes I've called that shotgun evangelism. You ever heard that phrase? It's like, load it up, fire, boom, 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 boom. It'll stick somewhere, must hit somebody, right? But we don't realize the damage that that can cause. Looking out for means paying attention, noticing, taking interest in someone else. Many times, you're going to see, if you open your eyes, people at work, people in your neighborhood who are less than okay today. And instead of saying, wow, somebody should really go help them, somebody should really go talk to them. I don't know if you've had a neighbor that's gone through a major health crisis. We have. I was talking to my neighbor a few years ago. They've since moved on. We have new neighbors now. But in that house, and he said to me, I looked over and his yard was just like weeds, just this tall. And he's got a 16-year-old son that's living at home. He's got a 19-year-old that's living at home. You're like, why is the guy not cutting his grass? I mean, how many of you ever thought that, right? You look at somebody and go, how come they're not cutting their grass? And then I went and talked to him. His name was Bobby. And I said, how are you doing, Bobby? And he stands there and he starts crying. And he's like, my wife's coming home to die. And she had brain cancer. And then he showed me a picture of her. And she had gone through chemo and she had no hair left. But you could see the line on her head right around here and the swelling of her cranium, the top part. I can't imagine the pain that lady was in. And she died at home. Well, I cut his grass. Didn't ask whether the 60, I said, how are the kids doing? He's like, not good. Not good, Glenn. And then the ambulance came one day, and we knew they were taking her to the funeral home. She died at home. But that's not the only person who struggles. That's not the only person who suffers. And that may be the person that's next to you at work. That may be somebody that you know, just maybe it's a schoolmate. Maybe it's somebody that you've bumped into on Facebook. And it's okay to tell them that you're praying for them. It's okay to tell them that you're thinking of them. It's okay to send out hugs and all those little cute emoticons. But there's nothing like actually saying, and how can I help you? And when you're approachable and you're interested in others, the opportunity to share the gospel just naturally flows from that. And then they look at you and they go, hey, your life's not perfect either. You deal with stuff. How do you deal with this? Or they'll ask you questions. And then the Bible says we need to be ready. And that's the last part of this. The other question, are you ready to give answers? Now, of course, I'll be the first to say that I don't have the answers to a lot of questions. And I don't know if I'll ever have the answers to those questions, because to be honest with you, the answers to those questions are sometimes in the realm of God Almighty, and that's it, and he's not sharing with me. Pain and suffering, the difficulties of life, what people struggle with, what people go through, I don't have the answers for all of it, but I do have the answers for what God's Word says. And the answers to tough questions are sometimes the biggest fears that Christians have, right? You're like, oh no, what if they ask me a question and I don't know the answer? Have you ever felt that way? You're thinking, yeah, it's easy for Glenn to say because Glenn's a pastor, but I don't know all that stuff. The truth of the matter is, most of the questions are pretty much the same questions. And you don't need to know every little nuance of what the Bible says about everything in order to be able to get out there and witness. As a matter of fact, I will take 10 new Christians who've just recently come to know the Lord and are just excited about their faith as evangelists over 10 people who have master's degrees in theology from seminary, because they're typically more effective evangelists. It's because they have a connection with people. And they don't have all the answers, but they give the answers that they do know. It's not as scary as you think. But there is a place for preparation. And one of the things I want to tell you is this. How many of you got this bookmark? If you didn't get this bookmark, go pick one up before you leave. It's Romans Road to Salvation bookmark. I've taught this in the church before, and I'm going to teach it again over the years. Teach it to our kids. They're teaching our DDC camp workers this. And here's the reason why we give you the Romans Road. It's just a way. There's lots of other verses that you can use to bring people to the gospel, to bring them to salvation, the Bible's teaching of salvation. But for me, this is an easy one. It's just one that's fairly easily memorized. Here's the thing. If you're out there witnessing to somebody, let's say you're out at work, let's say you're out there on the shop floor, let's say you're at the street, you're talking to them across the driveway, and you're like, just a second, I got to go get my Bible, right? Typically, you don't do that, right? So the Bible says that the Word of God is special, that it's living and it's active and it's sharper than any two-edged sword, that it pierces to the dividing line of soul and spirit and joints and marrow and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And so when you give people God's Word, that word will stick with them. The Bible also says in Isaiah that my word will not return to me void, the Bible says. So when you give people God's word in a relevant way, it will stick with them. And Romans 3 verses 23 and then onward, just really about six verses that are mentioned here, are easy enough to memorize. And then when we memorize them, somebody say to you, you know, they start talking to you about, well, I think I should go to heaven, because I'm a pretty good person, right? So you get onto the eternal talk, right? And then you say, so what do you think makes you good? So maybe start there. Just ask them a question. So what makes you think you're good? Well, the good things I've done have outweighed the bad things, or something along those lines. You say, really? I said, okay, I understand that. So what do you think bad things are then anyways? Like, what's a bad thing? And you're like, so then you get into, well, the word sin. Well, yeah, I know that I'm, but I'm not as bad as, and we start talking about that. You say, well, what is sin? Well, you know, God's word says that all have sinned and fallen short of God's standard of glory. That includes me, as well as you. And the Bible also says that the wages of sin is death. And so, to be honest, it's kind of obvious, because everybody dies, right? Like, you're going to die, I'm going to die, we're all going to die. We don't like to talk about it, but the reality is everybody dies. Like, one out of one dies. Nobody's ever gotten out of this with a get-out-of-jail-free card, right? We all die. So the evidence is pretty clear that the wages of this sin is death. But there's good news. The gift of God is eternal life. Like, you can actually live forever, but it's only through Jesus Christ our Lord. We just covered the first two verses of the Romans Road. I don't actually reference it. Romans 3:23 says this, Romans 6:23 says that necessarily. But then you go on to the next one and say, and the good news is that, you know, God didn't wait for you to get right with him, but he demonstrated his love toward you in that while you were still and while I was still a sinner, Christ actually came and died for me. And do you know why he died? He died so that I might be able to have forgiveness of sin. And then we go into Romans 10:9-10. And we talk about this confession of Jesus as Lord. It's, if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you're going to be saved. Because whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. It's not about your works, it's about what God can do through you. And you can, in the conversation, have a way to explain that to people. You say, well, that's great, Glenn, you've probably done that a lot, and I haven't done that a lot. And I'm like, yeah, the more you practice something, the better you typically get at it, right? But here's the thing is, why not start? Why not start? See, I'm not sure if I can memorize all that, or I'm not sure if I can remember that in the heat of the moment. You know what? You don't have to have all the answers. You don't have to be the perfect answer person. Just get out there and try it. And the more you practice it, the better you get at it. It's like skating. You ever seen someone that's picked up skating when they're older? Takes you a while, right? I started skating when I was like, I don't know. I don't know what age I was. I can't remember. I've always been skating ever since I was little, when I was a young kid. Grew up with skates on my feet. So to me, skating was natural. It was easy. Then you watch some NFL football player who's never put on skates fall on his butt, and you laugh your head off because you realize it isn't that easy. But it is that easy. It depends on how much you've practiced. And practice makes perfect witnessing. And we just got to get out there and do it. And let me tell you, folks, it is the greatest joy in the world for me when I get a chance to share the gospel with people. Like, I mean, whether I was in the position of pastor or most of my life, I, I have been not, even if you look at the majority of years on this earth, I haven't been a pastor for the majority of those years. It doesn't matter whether or not you're a pastor, whether you're just, you know, in a different situation, or whether, you know, whatever happens to you in your life, you've got opportunities in front of you. And what reason has God put us here on this earth is to proclaim his name. Practice makes perfect. So I'd encourage you to put this in your Bible. I'd say put it on your fridge, but it's better to be in your Bible. Use it as a bookmark. Oh, by the way, that means you're reading your Bible. And the more you read your Bible, if someone asks a question about something, and they say, what does the Bible say about this, and what does the Bible say about that? I'm like, but if you're in the Word of God literally every day, and you're just letting God's Word speak his truth into your life, it's like being marinated in the Word. It's like marinating in something, and you just ooze it. And what God says about himself, and what God says about love and grace and sin and wrath and all the things that are in the Bible start to make more and more sense as you marinate in God's Word, and then you obey God's Word. And as we marinate in God's Word and we obey God's Word and we live and breathe and we, that's how you, in him we live and move and have our being. We talk about that. It's not about what you do. It's not about what you do. It's about who you are. And if you're a Christian, you can't help but share the gospel with people. If you're a Christian and you are communing with God and you're in his word and you're in prayer on a daily basis, it just oozes out of you. And those verses just start coming naturally. And people get saved. Now, I want to close with this because I don't want to go on too long this morning, because we have the Lord's table and we want to give reflective time for that. I read a book recently. It said this. It's talking about how people are coming to know the Lord today in the 21st century, 2015, 2016, 2017. And it said 30 years ago, if you interviewed the average person and said, tell me how you came to know the Lord, who led you to Christ? 6% of everybody that was asked would say, the pastor led me to Jesus. 94% of people would say, somebody other than the pastor led me to Jesus. 30 years later, 17% of people interviewed say, the pastor led me to Jesus. And 83% say it's somebody else. We are heading into a day and age where maybe it's going to be 30% of people that the pastor leads to Jesus. Maybe one day it'll be 50%. Isn't that terrible? How many people do I know compared to how many people you know? Send them to the pastor. You're there. I would much rather you lead someone to the Lord than me. Because it's not about me leading people to Christ. There's no notches on any belt. This isn't about that. I would dare say that if that number was like 3 or 4% that the pastor's leading them to the Lord, and it's 95 to 96, 97% that everybody else is, that way more people are getting saved. Amen? Right? So it's your responsibility, not mine. I'm not the paid professional to do this. The Bible says that I'm here to equip the saints to do the ministry, not to do all the work. And I'm not saying that I'm doing all the work, because I'm hoping and praying in our church that this gospel gets into the DNA of every single person in this church. And that you then see, where's my opportunity to share the gospel with people? And I may not be able to do it as good as the pastor, and I don't mean that, I meant that in a bit of a sarcastic way. You know what? When you're doing it, you're probably doing it better than I ever could. Because you're in a relationship with that person, and I'm not. And I'll tell you this, that is my heartbeat for our church. When we think about where we're headed as a church family, as a church body, we want to bring the gospel to people. Yeah, it answers the tough questions. And we get into some of those hot button issues and all that stuff, but we're ready to wrestle with them and we're ready to give a defense. Now, I am also excited because I love apologetics. And this summer I'm going to a conference with Rabbi Zacharias Ministries and I'm really excited about it. It's going to be great. We get to learn more about how to share the gospel, and then I come back and train you guys, so that you could go out there, do the work. Practice makes perfect, right? So I just gave you the Romans road. It's not the only way. Just Awe. Could you work on it? Maybe memorize that? Could you teach your kids that? Wouldn't that be great? Teach your kiddos that. So that they get those words in their heart, that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That Jesus Christ is the way to salvation. He's the only way. And he demonstrated his love toward us, and while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart that God has raised from the dead, you're going to be saved. And that's where salvation is found. And that's what we want us to, as a church, proclaim boldly. And we want to be, as a church, the faithful church to God in fulfilling the Great Commission. So I want to leave that with you as a challenge over the summer. Even if you're not here on Thursday nights, even if you're away on the weekends, and you're here on Thursday night, and you're at the lake, or with your family, you're visiting, what's the opportunity in front of me? How can I get the gospel to them? Practice makes perfect. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I